Today's gospel is about more than a gate, sheep, a shepherd, thieves, bandits, a gatekeeper. It's a part of a bigger story in John, a story that begins a chapter earlier with Jesus healing a blind man. The Gospel of John often uses the pattern of sign, discourse, dialogue. Jesus performs a miraculous act. The onlookers wonder, what is it that he just did and what does it mean? And Jesus interprets what he did for them. Jesus heals a man born blind. The now healed man's religious leaders ask him, what happened? Yesterday you couldn't see. The man tells him his story and sticks to the truth. However, the religious leaders throw him out of the community. Jesus, hearing this, finds the healed man again and publicly welcomes him into his community of followers, all the while teaching the crowds around him. The religious leaders listening in ask, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Today's sacred story is a part of Jesus' answer, an interpretation of the healing that went before. And in listening to Jesus' words today, we need to keep the miracle of sight in our mind. Jesus answers them with sheep and gates and shepherds and thieves and bandits. And he concludes, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And then Jesus does his classic, "I'm not going to define what that means." Frustrating. And an invitation for us to ask, what is abundant life in Jesus? When I was entering high school, my youth group was going to go on a trip to Tanzania. I thought this sounded like a wonderful idea. My mom had a few more hesitations about sending her child across the world. And so a few months of stubbornness, a lot of fundraising, and the whole family went. Everything about Tanzania was new to my 15-year-old self. The aromas, the sights, the sounds, the colors on the fabric, the animals. It was beautiful. We spent a week at a school building a teacher's home. The school was for Maasai young women. During the day, we built. And all of our other time was with the young women, the students, eating, singing, dancing, telling stories, listening. A teacher told us how when the dorm rooms were designed, they were designed for 2 bunk beds, 4 girls to a room. However, when the students arrived, they thought that was too much space and they wanted to be closer. And so they slept 8 to a room. Eventually, the top bunk began to break, and a compromise was made at 6 girls per room. It was the first time I had spent ample time in a community that had noticeably fewer things, less stuff than the communities that I was a part of. Everything was sparse. And yet, like the communal dorm rooms, there was also a joy and connectedness that I had never experienced before and remains deep in my memory 20 years later. This is not to say life was perfect. Financial poverty was real. And we went knowing that the Maasai tribe, as nomadic people, had tension with the government. Still, there was no impending sense of scarcity. Instead, this feeling, which is hard to put words to, was so great that it extended from the young women and beyond. It was so infectious that we, as their guests, were snuggled deeply within it. It was so great that it was the first time I was opened enough to hear a whisper of a call to ministry. It was so great, it was unmistakably holy. And it was so great that when Jesus talks about abundant life, the face of the young women is what I picture. I imagine the blind man that Jesus healed would say abundant life for him is sight. which moved him from the outskirts of his community inside a safe, welcoming community. And I suspect that there is a contextual answer in abundance for everyone here. And so this week on Facebook, I crowdsourced the question, what does abundant life mean for you? The answers were diverse. It means community, people, God, nature, hope, joy, connection. A few answers I'll share here with you, and I have the author's permission to do so. Brother Anselm Philip wrote, "For the contemplative, living abundantly is about searching for union with God in everything and everywhere. It is being open to the presence of the holy in the ordinary and mundane, so that in those extraordinary moments, that holy presence moves us closer to seeing ourselves from God's perspective." Rena wrote, "When we believe that there is enough for ourselves, we can't help but share everything with others. It's when we behave like there isn't enough, love, money, connection, you name it, that we retract." No one mentioned abundance as an accumulation of material wealth. And let me be clear, Jesus today is not preaching a prosperity gospel. Jesus is not preaching a reward for good behavior system. What is clear is that abundance, when grounded in God in the here and now, is about more than us. Yet, it can be hard. The thieves and bandits in this story become more real to me when I picture them as a sense of scarcity, of not enough. Because scarcity demands we only look at what we don't have, that we believe cultural messages that say, if only you buy, become, have this, then you will arrive. And yet when you buy, become, or have this, the cycle seems to continue. A scarcity mindset becomes an inner prison that continually spirals us away from God and one another. As followers of Jesus, abundance is an action. It is a spiritual practice. A practice that involves looking at what we have in life and imagining how we can share it, not what we don't have and how we can get it. Abundant life in Jesus is countercultural. It is hard daily work. The good news is that it starts with a God who knows each and every one of us by name. As a practice, abundant life inspires movement. When life is abundant, we are able to move beyond ourselves and reach out to others. When life is abundant, we are able to move beyond ourselves and accept others reaching out to us. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I wonder where you are in this.